Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and we're so glad that you're here. We use our mojo to really become greater leaders. Now, let's get started by listening to something good. Oh, I feel good. I knew that. Want to make 2017 your best year ever? Then let me be your teacher, your mentor. I've prepared special courses and webinars for you that will help you succeed and to give you access directly to me. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today. You have nothing to lose. Try me for 30 days, and if you aren't satisfied, I guarantee you a full refund, no questions asked. Don't go it alone. Let me be your guide at mojouniversity.com. Be successful today. Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here. And today I'm thrilled to introduce our special guest. Now, our special guest is Izzy Gassell. Now, Izzy is a former stand-up comedian and public school teacher, but now is an organizational alchemist who helps individuals and organizations transform their thinking from the commonplace to the extraordinary. He offers imaginative, intuitive, and immediately useful insights in leadership, and he's skilled at delivering this content in a meaningful way so that it's fun. Izzy's one of the first to use improv theater concepts as tools for personal and organizational learning. He's the author of Playing Along, Group Learning Activities Borrowed from Improvisation Theater. He's co-author of a couple of other books as well, and we are very, very glad to have him. He's a certified speaking professional and has trained people at NASA, Aetna, Hewlett-Packard, amongst some of his clients. Izzy, welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you here today. And before we get started talking about our topic today, why don't you share with us what fun thing that you've been up to lately outside of work?
Ah, good question. You know, one of the things I'm trying to implement from my own lessons in work is to take some risks and go into some uncomfortable situations. So I've actually started taking swing dance lessons.
And cool.
I found a place that was able to have this format that makes it easy. You don't have to come with necessarily a partner. You get to switch around people, and nobody sort of makes fun of you. So I am comfortably uncomfortable there, and it's turned out to be fun. Once I start moving around, I love it. I love to dance. So that's been a surprisingly fun thing that I've been doing.
Well, congratulations on stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Literally stepping outside, yeah.
That's very cool. And, you know, that just leads us right into our topic today, and we're going to talk about leadership and how you approach it. But, you know, getting outside of our comfort zone is really a perfect description of most people when they're doing leadership training or they're in a leadership position. So why don't you share with our listeners what your philosophy is on leadership and how we can maybe get outside of that comfort zone?
Yeah, the work that I do in leadership, very often the program is called Becoming the Leader You Would Like to Follow. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, for me, is that by becoming the best authentic person you can be, you become a leader that others want to follow, even if they don't have to, even if they may not want to, but there's something about you that draws people. People feel better when they're around you. They look to you to make some decisions. And there's a certain comfort And if we're talking about stepping out of the comfort zone, I think it's imperative for leaders, of whether they have a title or not, to be able to demonstrate stepping out of the comfort zone. And what was a very strong realization for me was the understanding that what people mix up is the concept of safety zone and comfort zone.
Okay.
And when they say I don't want to get out of my comfort zone, essentially what they're saying is I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe in doing something I'm not comfortable with. And mm-hmm. yet when I began to look at it, I realized that those two concepts are very different. When you feel safe, you can also feel uncomfortable. And the example I use is people who love roller coasters. They like roller coasters because they're uncomfortable in a way, but they feel safe enough to do it. People who like horror movies, they go there with a certain sense of safety, and that allows them to feel uncomfortable. So the separation of comfort zone and safety zone is really key to understanding how anyone, specifically in our case, leaders, can say, okay, I may not be comfortable, but where can I feel safe in taking the risk? And that's mm-hmm. why I love this concept of applied improv so much, is what you learn is you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. You don't feel in a way that you're controlling things, but you feel safe enough to take the risk, so you feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
Excellent point. Now, I want to get you to go into it a little deeper on one of the things you just mentioned, and I happen to agree with it completely, is that you have to be true to yourself. You have to really know who you are. Tell us why that's so important.
I think in general it's important because if you, as I'll say me, if you or I or anyone, we know certain things about ourselves that we're not going to let on to other folks, where we're vulnerable, where we may not like our habits, where we do things we may not be desirous of broadcasting. The more authentic you are in accepting of yourself in your foibles, imperfections, the more other people will see you as real. And one mm-hmm. of the key aspects for leadership, for approachability in leadership, is to be real. People tend to mix up the concepts of serious and solemn. They say, well, you can't be funny as a leader because then people won't take you seriously. I think they're mixing that up. If you're humorous in a positive, in a productive way, then you're very approachable. So the more real you are, the more people see you as like them in some ways, and as human beings we share many qualities, then your leadership ability is enhanced because people will be attracted to you.
Well, I think it's a great point, and it seems to me from watching people really move from individual contributor into a leadership position, oftentimes as an individual contributor, perfection was their goal. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do their work perfectly, and then mm-hmm. when they go into a leadership role, now they think, okay, well, I've always tried perfection, so now I got to be perfect. But mm-hmm. that's not possible when you're actually leading other people, is it?
It's not possible when you're leading other people. It's not possible in general in life to be perfect. Perfection is a misguided North Star. You're mm-hmm. going towards something you'll never reach, and what happens as a leader is then what I found when I work with a lot of the leaders that I coach and work with, the problem is that they were perfect or thought they were perfect or hid their imperfections, and now they expect other people to do what they themselves could not do.
Yeah,
so we tend to lay on to others the things that frustrate about ourselves. So the other piece of that is, if you're imperfect, you're saying, I'm a vulnerable person, I'm a vulnerable human being. It's this vulnerability that makes it possible, if you're a leader, if you show your vulnerability, you're expressing the ability for others to show their vulnerability to you, which means they're able to come to you with the truth. I don't know exactly what to do. I didn't understand that. Could you repeat that for me? People will say that. If you are a perfectionist and if you are very tight with your rules and regulations for others and yourself, people won't come to you because they don't believe that you'll understand them. So So yeah. They will hide themselves, and you won't, as a leader, know what's going on.
It happens all the time, doesn't it, Izzy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that this idea of vulnerability is very related to that comfort zone and safety zone aspect. So again, with authenticity, the more real you are to yourself in an ethical, consistent way, the more people will see you as approachable and the better leader you will be, because you will know more about what's going on for them.
Well, I think it's a great point. And yet, maybe some people listening today are very serious, very goal-oriented, and this just doesn't really make sense to them. You know, give them an example of what you could do to kind of get comfortable with who you are so that other people can get comfortable with you.
Well, I'm the big advocate of taking improv classes. I mean, my work is based in applied improv, which is the application of improv theater principles to non-theatrical outcomes. When you ask folks who see the improv, let me ask you, you've seen improv, right? You've seen it on TV.
Oh, absolutely.
What's your response to it? What's your reaction to it?
I always enjoy it. For a person walking up to the stage, or at least initially, I'm like, gee, I hope they don't embarrass themselves. I'm mm-hmm. kind of on their side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to see exactly what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once they begin to have some fun, then I have some fun.
Exactly. So a couple of things, Steve. You were very, very clear there. Notice that your first response was the reaction of empathy to the person taking the risk.
Absolutely.
That's the leadership quality. That's why the leaders in my groups, and I never force anyone to volunteer, but when somebody does volunteer, and I stop them and I say to the folks in the audience, just let's take a minute before we get started here. What kept your hand from going up to volunteer? Not for right or wrong, just for objective observation. And the answers are very similar. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go first. I don't know what I was getting myself into. I wanted to see what was involved. I didn't trust you enough. I never volunteer. I don't want to look foolish.
It happens all the time, doesn't it?
Perfectly sensible. And that makes sense. And I asked the person who volunteered, why did you volunteer? And generally they say, most of the time, they will say something like, well, I thought it would be fun. I wanted to get it out of the way early. I figured it would get harder later on. Okay, great. Sometimes they say I did it for the people in the audience, but not all the time. And then I ask the audience, remember, the people who did not step up. Folks, when you saw that this person volunteered to step up, how did you feel? And inevitably, the answer is universal. Whew, relieved.
Right.
They were right. And that's when I stop the group and I say, that's a leadership action. This person stepped up for their own reasons, yet their action had the power to change the emotional climate for the people in the room.
Excellent point.
And that's authenticity. They do it for whatever reason they do it, and the people in the audience, consciously or not, go, phew. And now that person who's up front is a leader, and the status tends to grow. And I'll just say one more thing about this.
Sure.
If the person made a mistake, and, you know, improv games are always imperfect, and you can do them 100 ways, and if it's a one-word game and you say two words, that can be technically considered a mistake. And if that happens, I'll stop the action. I'll say, folks, did you notice that he used or she used two words instead of one? Some say yes, some say no. I said, did you think she made a mistake? Did she lose credibility? And the answer is always no. And that question is, why not? That's what you were afraid of, making a mistake in public. And the audience always says, because she had the courage to step up.
Absolutely. People admire that, don't they?
They admire that. And here's the other piece about going to your authenticity, about your comfort zone and safety zone. If you're afraid to step up because you don't want to make a mistake, once you step up, you cannot fail.
That's a great point. I actually think that so many times people know what the right answer is. They know
mm-hmm.
what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
But their own internal conversations, head conversations that they have going on, keep them from really stepping out and becoming a good example.
Yeah, exactly, because a good example is does not overcome the fear. But I would say, see, what I would say, it's not so much that they know what's right or wrong, it's that their self-talk is an illusion, because they are projecting from situations that may have happened in the past. But a leader cannot rely on everything that's happened in the past to guide their future, because the future is unknown, especially in these times. People are looking for someone who can step up and say, look, I may not know the direction, but I'm willing to find out, because we are flexible on the way. And that's where improv helps the perfectionists, the control freaks, because we learn through the applied improv process that we have the goal, we have the purpose, we have the mission. What we don't have is just one path to success. And when you have more than one path to success, you can deal with all the things that come up along the way, and you're not stuck with, oh, my God, this is wrong. It's, oh, my goodness, this is a different way to approach it.
But Izzy, don't you know that there was really only one way, and that was my way?
Right, and that was, and that was in your head. But the point is, we all can't fit into your way, because it's a very small way.
I learned that lesson very early in my career, because I really thought I was the answer guy. You know, I had an answer for everything. And it held me back until I finally learned that was just dumb. You know, I didn't have to be that way. And I consciously said, you know, I'm no longer going to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough to people that are very aggressive. They're controlling.
Yep.
They want to get to where they want to go fast, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they're unwilling oftentimes to give that other person a little room. At least that was my own personal problem. I don't know. Do you see that happening?
It's true for some folks, and I would say even in the activities that we do in the leadership workshops, there's some games. Most of the games you can't control. And in the debrief, you know, I ask folks, did you try to control it? And some people go, yeah. And I go, why? Even though you know you couldn't, they go, well, I'm just a control freak. I don't know how to let go. And the idea is that once you begin to recognize it about yourself, then you can possibly think about having alternative paths. The question is not so much whether you're right or wrong about trying to control everything. The point is, does it serve you?
That's true. Good point.
And if it doesn't serve you, what might be different? And again, the aspect sometimes is you have to let go. And this goes back to the authenticity and the vulnerability. You have to let go of the need to know all the answers, or even the belief that you have all the answers, or even the belief that there is an answer.
Let me ask you this about improv. And mm-hmm. this is just Steve's perception here, and I mm-hmm. just want to get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, whenever I view improv, and it's very successful, mm-hmm. As the person observing, it seems to me that instead of the person controlling what they're doing, they appear to me to be more of a guide, a skilled mm-hmm. guide. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair observation or not?
Yeah, the ideal perception is that this is a cohesive, self-directed team, that leadership is fluid here. When it's your turn, you're the leader, so whatever you say, everybody else has to follow. Mm-hmm. But when it's somebody else's turn, they do something, they're the leader, because everyone else has to follow. So it's a dance where the leadership comes and goes among people, and at the end, very few people remember who did what in the activity.
So true.
In fact, there's an aphorism in improv. One of the main the main one is what people know is use yes and instead of yes but. But there is another aphorism that improv people try to live by, and that's make your partner look good.
Oh, that's awesome. That truly is awesome. And I think if we spent more time making our team members look good, we would sure have a hell of a lot fewer problems.
Yeah, because everybody else on the team is then working to make you look good. it's all about, you know, it's this hot potato thing. No, you be good. No, you be good. No, you be good. No, you be good. And everybody is helping each other become good. And all of a sudden, you lose. Who's in charge here? Well, we're all in charge at different times. That's another lesson that comes out of the work that I do, is when people are walking around, whether it's HR people, whether it's team leaders, whether it's high-level executives, they walk around and going, you know, it's sometimes I'm the leader and sometimes I'm the follower.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be comfortable with both situations.
Well, I would tell you, no matter what position or title you have in a business, that's always true. It doesn't matter what level. You could be the CEO, but you're still going to have to answer to shareholders or to other people, or many times you're following a direction. And if not people directly associated with your company, there are outside influences you have to follow. There may be regulations and rules and things that dictate which way you go. So to think that you're ever going to be the person that controls everything, I think to me is just a lack of awareness of the world around them.
That's very true, and the outcome of that is those people who try to control everything at work will take out their frustrations in other parts of their lives, whether it's family, whether it's competition, whether it's road rage, those emotions, those frustrations don't disappear when you leave the office. And if you're not feeling valued, then that's really difficult to take in on a personal aspect. So the idea very much is act on things you can control and let go of things you can't.
I think that's awesome, and that's the
stress management key, and that's what we learn in the applied improv is, and you're decisive. You know, improv, you don't see the improv people hanging around talking a lot about what we should do. They do, and then act on what they've done, not what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
excellent point.
Too. Yeah.
You know, I had I heard somebody talk about today about that there was a recent study in large organizations that today that a person may have to go through 10 different conversations or levels of authority to get anything done now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a prime example of people really and truly not understanding or having a concept of leadership in the company. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. The world we live in is fragmented.
Yes, that's a better way of saying it.
And that means no one feels comfortable or is even able to make decisions that they're beholden to themselves. So the world is fragmented between our emails, between our 100 channels in cable, between the multiple destinations, between all the stuff that's going on in the world and social media. The phrase that really comes to mind is that we're in a liminal phase. The past is no longer a predictor of the future because what worked before is not going to work now. The future is uncertain and unknown because it's in turmoil. So all of us, and particularly leaders, and this is really important as a leader, you have to recognize we're all on a threshold. The past is no longer the guide. The future is an uncertain maelstrom of we don't know what's out there. And yet people are looking to us to say, okay, leader, what are you going to do? How are we going to get there? And this is the metaphorical equivalent of somebody's got to step up first and go, I'm going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's true. That's why it's so important now, because the guideline there, the history is not relevant and the future is unknown.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I know in my career, I've had a lot of financial training. So investments and how to analyze investments and that kind of stuff. And I studied over the years things called statistical analysis, and you look at the past, and you can look at those things, and they can actually be very, I guess, deceiving would be one way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to people that want certainty in their life. Are really not looking at the reality of leadership. Nothing is certain.
No, it's not.
So you have to be able to have what that skill, which I think improv does, which is to say, okay, let's figure this out together as we go forward.
Yeah, it's the hero's journey. You know, we start on a journey, we have a goal, we have a mission. Along the way, unexpected things happen. And as a group, as a team, as a company, as a family, as a relationship, we have to deal with those things together. And at the end, we're successful, not necessarily because we reached our goal, because the goal may be completely different, but that we did it together.
Yeah,
so
that's
the
a
idea
great
is, yeah, and that's what leadership involves people feeling they're part of the system because they are attached to a leader who represents them. I mean, that's the other part of leadership. It's representational.
Right.
And who you are determines how people view you and whether they want to be represented by you. They may not like you, but if they feel you can get them through to the other side, they'll take you as their leader. Why not? It's not a popularity contest.
That's
survival.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. And I think that's a great point. I think too many times people mistakenly believe that leadership is a popularity contest, and they wind up making a lot of very, very poor decisions. Izzy, I know we're gonna run out of time here, and I don't want to let this go, but I do want, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Why don't you share with them right now how they can connect with you to learn more about your work?
Okay. The website is izzyg.com, I-Z-Z-Y-G.com. They can email me izzy, I-Z-Z-Y, at izzyg.com. I'd be happy to send them more information and some instructions for simple improv games that they could play with their family and friends and read up some more about it. So I'd love to hear from them. Yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you for doing that. And for those of you that are listening and exercising, as always, we'll put the link in the show notes for you to make it easy for you to find Izzy's website. Izzy, as we wrap it up today, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to give us either your top three tips for us to be thinking about or top three actions that you think we should begin to take as leaders.
Number one, monitor your self-talk. Learn where your negative self-talk is keeping you from your ultimate success. So notice the negative self-talk, challenge it, and change it. Because you want to be able to change the habits that are keeping you behind. Secondly, taking an improv class may not be exactly what I'm suggesting, but I am suggesting that if you can, what you'll end up doing is being able to see pitfalls as opportunities, differences in directions. So learn to look from the other side. Take a beginner's mind, a six-year-old point of view on something that happens, and say, what's another way of looking at this? And the third thing that I would recommend is to begin to expand your sense of humor. Begin to understand that humor is one of the ways of looking at the world from different points of view. And one of the greatest skills that a leader has is the ability to see things from multiple perspectives. So watch some humor, watch some comedy, laugh at jokes, and then ask yourself, why is this funny? And always look for what's the shift in point of view. And the greater the shift in point of view, the bigger the laugh, and the more you begin to recognize it, the more your brain begins to see multiple possibilities.
I love it. Those are three fantastic recommendations and actions that we all can take. Izzy, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. It was really my pleasure. I can't believe the time's gone by so fast.
It flies when we're having fun. And
exactly.
This has been an awful lot of fun. Our guest today, Izzy Gassell. And Izzy is the author of Playing Along, Group Learning Activities Borrowed from Improvisation Theater. He's obviously an expert in this area, and I encourage you to reach out and connect with him. Izzy, thanks again for being with us today, and best wishes on continued success in your future.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Steve here, and one last reminder. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and want to encourage you, go over to mojouniversity.com before you forget it. Make sure you sign up for our training site, and let me be your teacher this year. I promise you, you're going to be successful. You're going to love it. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today.